we're starting a new series here this morning. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about when I say, Jesus, the great I am, the creator of all things, the one who has spoke all things into existence, the one who holds all of creation in the palm of his hands, the Almighty God, came down to earth and laid in a manger. And he died for you. What goes through your mind? What goes on inside of your heart, more importantly? You see, I think when we start to reflect on this, I think sometimes as Christians we kind of go, I've heard that before. Do we really understand the impact of grace? Has it really collided with our hearts and awakened us to what God has really done? If it has awakened us, then what should happen is our lives should be transformed and become living sacrifices to him, where our lives are filled with praise and they're filled with worship. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, is the impact of how grace came down and struck us, and therefore the result is we're a living sacrifice of worship. And now some people are going, worship, great. We just did that. I don't like singing songs. I'm not very emotional. I just want to get to the intellectual part where we get God's word and we open that up, because you know that music stuff doesn't really do much for my heart and my mind. Well, let me just tell you, worship is way more than music. Worship is music. Worship is recognizing and responding to the grace of God. Worship is a life that is lived out as a sacrifice, because we recognize this incredible thing called grace. So we're going to be looking at that for several weeks. And what I hope that you kind of get into your mind is that worship is way more than a style, way more than just a song, but it's the attitude with a heart that is filled with a gratitude of what God has done. And it's a response to what God has done. And as it starts to well up inside of you, you can't help but get excited about it. Because here's what I'm afraid of in the church. We heard about Jesus dying for us, and we're just going to, yep. When I hear it, you know what's going on inside of me? Woo! I'm excited. I have a God in heaven that didn't just leave me here. I had a God in heaven that gave up something that was very, very unique and gifted, a gift from him, his son. And he did it for me. His love just poured out on us. And I think that there's a problem, though, in the church. There's a word that has kind of evaporated from our faith. And that word, I really believe this word has the ability to transform us, the ability to open up doors where we can get into a very deep relationship with God. This word is a word I've already mentioned, and it's not going to be the word that you're thinking right now. Sacrifice. We hear about sacrifice all over the world. We hear about sacrifice in careers. In fact, we look at sacrifices and we say, sacrifice is good. Because it gets you to where you want to go. For instance, you have people who have careers, and they start to recognize that in order for them to advance, they have to go back to college and maybe get a doctorate. And as they go back and get a master or a doctorate, what they're doing is they're sacrificing. What are they sacrificing? Finances. They're sacrificing time. They're sacrificing time with family. They're sacrificing the freedom to be able to go out with friends, because they know that if they can just sacrifice enough, they can get that degree and it can advance them in their careers. Some of you have had the opportunity to have children, and you chose to have one of the parents stay home. You sacrificed. You made a great sacrifice. Instead of both of you working, you said it's much more important than to have one of us to stay home with the father, the mother, and raise our children. And you sacrificed, and you didn't have two incomes. You didn't have all the stuff you wanted. Jones had the big house. You had the average size house. They had the boat. They had the Maserati. You got the Yugo. It's a sacrifice. So we're all familiar with sacrifices. But when it comes to our faith, we're not so willing to sacrifice, are we? We're not willing to sacrifice time. We're not willing to sacrifice opening up an incredible book called the Bible that is the living Word of God and glean into it and just peer into it. We're unwilling to sacrifice time to serve. We're unwilling to sacrifice time to grow ourselves spiritually. There's a lot of things that we're just unwilling to sacrifice when it comes to our faith. But when you start to read in the Bible, you always see worship and sacrifice side by side. In fact, as I look at the Bible and see all the different people of the Bible, you cannot have worship if there is no sacrifice. They go hand in hand. So in order for us to become the people that God wants us to become, which are living sacrifices, we got to be willing to do whatever it takes and sacrifice and give up some of the things that are important to us. So I just want us to kind of just get that idea of, in order for me to reflect God and become all that He wants me to be, what am I willing to do? What am I willing to give up? Because not because I ought to, not because I should, but because the Almighty came down as a baby and put Himself on a cross and died. Because I'm responding to that. If you have your Bibles, you want to open them up to Hebrews chapter 13. And we're just going to kind of look at, first of all, kind of worship a little bit. And then we're going to kind of dive into what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures where it talks about worship, but just as a kind of direct and pointed, meaning because of our incredible reaction to grace, we have to have a life of worship. And the Hebrews author starts out in verse 11 of chapter 13. And it says, "The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned in outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through His own blood. Let us then go to Him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that He bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for that city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually..." I love that. That's an incredible word, continually. Let us continually. It doesn't mean that just on Sunday morning we get together and I worship. It doesn't mean just there's a moment, in a week or in a month or in a year that you worship God. This is continually. This is a life of worship. A life of letting the grace of God that's impacted you flow out of you. And you're responding to that. Because you're still stunned that God loves you that much that He'd give His Son up. So He says, let us continue worship. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So continually offer a sacrifice of praise. That's our responsibility, to do this continually. What does it look like? The fruit of lips that confess His name. So that means on our mouth and everything that we say is drenched. Because of the grace of God that's filled us, it's drenched with the love of God and the mercy of God. And as we speak, we're praising God with all that's inside of us, who we are, and we're responding to it. And what it means is that when a circumstance comes along in your life that's very difficult, you don't stop praising Him. When something comes along and you don't know how to handle it and you're anxious and you're overwhelmed, what the author's telling us, you don't stop praising God because you recognize what He's done for you. Yes, the circumstance is real, but that circumstance does not define God. And He says, so therefore, praise all the time. Do it continually. And sometimes when you're in the middle of that circumstance and it's so difficult, it is a sacrifice to come in and worship, isn't it? And he says, have a heart that has always bent towards worshiping God because of grace, because of this marvelous thing that God did. And then he keeps going on in verse 16. And he says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. First of all, he says, to have a life that is a living sacrifice, a living act of worship. You're first of all to have the praises of God on your lips all the time. But it's not enough just to have the praises. You have to have the action. You have to have the go. You have to look around and you have to see people that are in need. And it says to do what? To do good and to share with others. That means you look into other people's lives and you see what's going on and you actually genuinely care for them. That means that you see the struggle that they're in and you just don't go, oh, I want to avoid them on Sunday morning because I don't want to hear their struggle. That means that you actually call them up during the week and you go, hey, you want to go for supper? Do you just need to talk? I know what you're going through. And you're just there. You're doing good. You see somebody in need. You see somebody that's hungry. You take care of it. You don't let somebody else do it. You do it. So these are sacrifices that are pleasing to God. This is a life that has been impacted by grace. And when grace comes down and it smashes into your life, it changes you. It wrecks you. And you want to be pleasing to God. And you want your worship to be pleasing to God, not just your lips. God doesn't want lip service. He wants the whole body to be worshiping him. So the author of Hebrews is saying, you know, this is incredible. And he kind of takes this high priest image, this priest that goes in and he sprinkles blood of an animal. And then he takes that animal and they take it outside the city and they burn it. And he goes, that was Jesus. Jesus was the sacrifice. His blood is the reason that we have the forgiveness of sins, and it's a permanent covering. Therefore, since he did that, this is how we should live. This is how we should respond to the incredible thing that God did. The reason that we worship, some of you are thinking, I don't always feel like worshiping. Things aren't going very well right now. I'm overwhelmed. Why would we worship? God didn't do what I expected him to do when I brought this prayer to him. God didn't unfold everything the way that I wanted him to. You know, that job interview, man, that went bad. I didn't get the job. All these things, and you're like, why should I worship? The reason is that we're an echo of the love of God that's poured down from heaven. When God's poured out his love, it created an echo in our hearts. And we're to echo that worship in spite of what is going on. We're to echo that love in spite of what's going on. We're to cling to these truths in spite of what's going on. And we're to reflect this incredible thing of the gospel. And when we start to reflect, you know what happens is the world starts to see. You know what an echo really is? What it says is an echo is a continuation of the original sound off a reflective surface. And you and I, if we are a living sacrifice, we're to be echoing what God poured out in heaven. And heaven spoke. And when God spoke, the love of God came down. And you and I are supposed to echo that. What does your echo look like? Do you even echo? You know, and here, you don't hear an echo, do you? Dwayne's and some other people have taken a lot of time to try to make sure that we don't get all these echoes. And if you go to a recording studio, they put up this thing, this high-density sound-absorbing material. So when the sound goes bouncing all over the room, it doesn't actually bounce off the walls. It actually gets absorbed into the material. When you hear the gospel of Christ and you hear about the love of God that he had for you, what happens? Does it come down? Does it just get absorbed right here? Or does it echo out at you. Because we're an echo of heaven if we are a living sacrifice. But here's what I'm afraid of. Is too many people have too many sound panels on their heart. So when it hits, it just goes, nothing. But you know, when you're standing out on a lake and there's mountains all around it, what happens when you go, hello? Well, there's one sound going out. Hello. Bounces off the mountains, bounces off the hills. Hello, 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 hello. That's an echo. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this world, to be a living sacrifice, because we're responding to this incredible thing called grace, the love of God. And when it impacts you, it changes you. And if you are not an echo in this world, maybe you need to take a look and see how many sound panels you put up. Or maybe you haven't even heard that echo yet. You've never let it penetrate the heart. Because when it does, it changes you radically. So let me just ask, are you acoustically dead? That's what a sound panel does. It silences sound. When you heard me talking about the grace of God, when you heard me talking about the Creator coming into the creation, going to the cross and dying, did it just go, nothing? Or did it just go, bam? And then it's echoing out across the lands. You see, you've been to those concerts where the sound is like bouncing off everything, and your mind is almost going crazy. Because of the sound is coming from every direction. And it's, you're like at the end, you want to go see a doctor and get medicated. Well, you and I are supposed to be reflecting the sound of God in this world. And it's supposed to be just consuming the whole world. So let me ask you, are you a living sacrifice? Have you let grace totally impact you? Or is grace just another thing? If it's just another thing, I would ask that you just get on your knees and ask God to reveal to you what he's done. Because when you start to see what he's done, and maybe I'm getting old, but I am starting to marvel every time I read it, that heaven came down and bent down and touched the earth for me. So what's the sound of heaven? First Peter kind of talks about this a little bit, and the sound that we're to be echoing and responding. So let me just ask a few questions as we're going there. What does it take to get an echo? What does it take to reflect the sound of heaven? What it is? It's a life that's reflecting and responding. So let me just, as we get into the next scriptures, if at any point you hear something and it hits you, don't let the sound panels absorb that sound. Reflect it. What am I saying? You hear a truth in the Word of God, don't be afraid to go, uh-huh. Don't be afraid to go, amen. Don't be afraid some head nods, okay? We're okay with that because this is what we're hearing. We're hearing the sound of heaven, the love of God. I'm not saying that this is the way you have to worship or anything. And I understand some of you are going, oh, but I'm kind of an introvert. I'm kind of quiet. I'm kind of shy. I've seen you guys at football games and basketball games watching your favorite sports. Don't tell me you're shy. Man, this is greater news than anybody shooting a hoop in a basket or hitting a putt. This is the greatest news ever. Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the sound of heaven. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ! Exclamation point. How many of you just read that? Praise be to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I supposed to get? Exclamation point. Is there any excitement when you hear that? This is an invitation that Peter's writing through the power of the Holy Spirit, saying, praise be to the God and Father of our... Anybody else? hello, get excited, right? This is what it's saying. When we hear that, we should be going, woo! Yes, praise God. Praise Him for who He is. I thank Him that He is a God that is in heaven. I think that He is a God that sees me and knows me. He has my best in mind. He has moved towards me. He has poured out all of heaven and has spoken to my life. Praise God. Oh, I don't want to do that. Why not? Isn't that exciting? Don't you praise God for who He is? Maybe we don't understand who He is. Peter goes on. In His great mercy, amen. There, we got a couple. All right. That's the spot, right? Now, you're saying right now, Kelly, this is a different way to read the Bible. Yeah, we have to start looking at it different. We got to start getting excited about this. Don't just go, blah, 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 blah. What can I get? No. Respond. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, yeah, we focus on His wrath. We heard about it last week. But guess what? Praise God. He is what? Great in mercy. Meaning that, yes, wrath is coming. Yes, it's going to fall down. Yes, that's going to happen. But praise God, His great mercy. Yes, there's wrath, but His mercy always tempers His wrath. His mercy is what guides Him and directs Him. His mercy is what actually saves us. His mercy is something that we should be getting excited about. His mercy provides a way to heaven. His mercy says to you and me, He didn't leave you. He didn't abandon you. He didn't just leave you in the state that you're in. But He saved you by providing His Son. Whoa. This is a different way, isn't it? You see what I'm doing? I'm reflecting. I'm echoing the sound of heaven. Because when heaven hears this, I guarantee you the angels, there's a great choir going, worthy, worthy, worthy is the King Almighty, who is holy, who is worthy to be praised. All praise and honor are due His name. He is rich and great in mercy. And you have the thunder of heaven. He says, I want you to echo it. In your lives. That's a living sacrifice. Like, oh boy, this is awkward, Kelly. This is getting hard. But think about this. God had to give up His Son for you. And He's the Almighty One. He could have declared an edict. He could have wrote a law. He could have said, oh, they're forgiven. They're alive. They just moved from dead. Just do it. But instead He said, no, I have to give up a sacrifice. And I give it up the sacrifice, and my sacrifice does something. It moves them from dead to alive, from doomed to forgiven, from hopeless to hopeful. He says, I want to do that for them. Because in His great mercy, He has given us what? New birth into a living hope. We're alive, we're new, that we have hope now. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, hello, guess what? We are not here doing religion. We are here worshiping a resurrected Savior. And who would have thought this morning that we would have got up and we would have started to worship, and we're not just worshiping this old guy, angry guy in the sky who wants wrath and mercy, wrath to come down and destroy everybody and wipe everything out. We are serving a God that is rich in mercy, who has given us a new hope, a new life. What great news. What excitement. I can hardly take it. I'll slow down here because I don't want to have a heart attack in front of you. It says, and then it goes on. He says, not only did He give you great mercy, not only did you give living hope through the resurrection of Christ, He says, but He's given you an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you and for me, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. So God has already done something. He's taken our salvation because we have faith in His Son, and He stored it up in heaven. I mean, nothing in this world can touch it. I'm secure. I have a hope that is beyond this world. This whole world could blow up. Of course, that might be kind of good for us, but I'm ready for it. But it can't ever touch my salvation because I have a God that is holding on to it. That's how he's holding on to it. So we should get excited. We should always respond when we hear about the death and resurrection. It's not just an Easter thing, okay? This is a daily thing. This is living lives that are filled with the sacrifices. So Peter kind of describes it a little bit later in chapter 1, verse 18, about these living sacrifices that have lips of praise. And then he describes the sacrifice. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He chose before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake, your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." Did you see what kind of sacrifice that was made, that was poured out of heaven? A precious sacrifice. A Savior with precious and holy divine blood. God gave up what was precious to him. So you and I could have a relationship with him. So you and I could have salvation. He said it was precious to him. And just think about this. You had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit always living together in perfect unity, perfect harmony. There was perfect love. There was perfect peace. They didn't need us. They didn't need to create humankind because they were bored. But they had so much love that they created us. And even before they created us, they already made up their minds that the precious Son was going to die. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, before I was born, they made a decision that the precious one, the Lamb of God, was going to pour out precious blood to save us. And then all of a sudden I'm going, he was chosen before creation. And because I believe in him, I have life. I have hope. So there's no circumstance in this world that can even shake me because of what I have right here. The sacred, sacred, precious blood. So what should our echo be? Should it be our leftovers? Should it be, don't I feel like it? Should it be silence? The sacrifice was precious. The sound that came down from heaven was precious. The echo that comes from us, it better be precious. So what we have to offer him as a living sacrifice is complete surrender. Complete trust. Complete awe. And reflect in him to the world around us. Why? Because we ought to? No. Because of what he did. Because I have to? No. Because I want to. And then Peter goes on, he said, the sound of heaven and this echo of love, here's what it looks like and here's what it's done and here's our response. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So you have him going, okay, yes, you praise him with your lips, you praise him all the time with your actions, but I want you to do something even greater. I want you to love one another. Not the superficial love. I want you to love one another with what? A sincere love. And also, I want you to love people from your heart. That's an echo of the love of God when you start loving people from your heart, in spite of who they are. God loves you in spite of who you are. He says, now I want you to do the same thing. I want you to be a living sacrifice in the world. And I want you to look at people and just go, I love you. I love you. And I love them. And I love them. And I love them. and it's sincere. It's not, hi, bye. It's deep. Because you recognize this precious blood. And then he goes down and he goes, as you, in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, as you come into him, the living stone, as you come into your faith, rejected by men, but chosen by God as precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, into a holy priesthood. So as we're becoming living sacrifices, you know what happens? You and I are placed into this holy house that God is building. You are part of the story. You are part of the picture. You might not be the capstone or the cornerstone. You're a little stone somewhere, but you're part of the story. You're part of the plan. Is your life submitted to him? God, use me however you want to build your kingdom, to get this grace out to the world. He says, this is what we're supposed to do. Offer yourself. Make this offering a spiritual sacrifice as acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And how does that work out? He tells us in verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And then he goes on, he says, that you may be declared the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What happens when I receive mercy? I begin to worship. There's key words in here. That you may. Why do I worship? That I may. Why do I proclaim his praises to the people? That I may. Why am I a living stone and offering my life as a sacrifice to God? That I may. That I may declare his praises. Not that I have to, not that I ought to, that I may. Because of what he's brought us into. And then he goes on, and here's a life that's been impacted in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. So once you've entered into a relationship with God and you've accepted that grace and it's impacted your life, what happens is all of a sudden you're no longer part of this world. You're part of the kingdom of heaven. You've been transferred. He says, here's what I want you to do to be a living sacrifice. Abstain from sinful desires. What? I got to say no to myself and yes to God. Your way, not my way. And he says, these sinful desires, they wage war against your soul. In other words, there's going to be a battle here while we're here. But you make a choice. And he says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they are they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. While we're here, I'm living as an offering, as a sacrifice to God, and I'm going to live in such a way. No matter when I'm ridiculed or accused, that I'm an echo of God to the world. His voice of love is hitting my heart and reflecting it. And I'm going to live in such a way people are going to see that I'm different. Why? For the glory of God. So they can see it. So let me just ask you, how has grace impacted you? How has it come crashing down in your life? Just like a pebble, maybe. Just a little small thing where you go, I hear that story, Jesus died for me. Yeah, dismiss it almost every time. But I believe it, but don't get very excited about it. This is kind of the sound of the echo of your heart. Just a pssst. When grace hits us, it should rock our world. It should change everything about us when we understand the depth of what God has done and the depth of his love. Well, I like heaven better than hell, so let's talk about my faith like that. You know, I just want Jesus because I don't want to go to hell. You know the echo that's coming out of you? It's a little bit louder. Kind of went a little bit crazy, didn't we? But when grace came down, did it really come down? Did it really make an impact? Is your heart echoing like that? Did you hear the echo? Big difference, isn't there? A little bit of echo. You have a lot of sound-absorbing panels placed over your heart. Big echo, big sound. You're basking in the grace and in the glory of what God has done. And the world is going, whoa. And they hear it. So how does this work out practically? First of all, it's a tiny, tiny shift that you need to make in your routines. Every moment, every morning when you get up, you begin to worship God. I praise you, God, for you are God. I praise you, God, because you're mighty, you're holy. I praise you, God, that you know me. I praise you, God, that you actually brought up the dawn. I praise you that you actually placed those stars in the heavens and you hold this little earth and you're spinning it on the tip of your finger because you're that big. The very first thing, well, I haven't had my coffee yet, Kelly. I didn't get a chance to check my email. I don't know if I can praise God yet because I don't know if I got a response yet. Oh, wait, I haven't watched the news yet. I don't know what's going on. I didn't check the stock market yet. I don't know if I can praise. In fact, I got all these things going on tomorrow and in these meetings, so I don't know if I can praise God because I don't know how those meetings are going to turn out. Back it up. Grace fell down on you. It has crushed you. You begin to worship before anything. Before you get up in the morning, out of that bed, praise you, God. Before you go in the meetings, I don't know what the meeting's going to be like. I don't know what's going to happen. I praise you, God, because this is who you are. God, when I just got this horrible diagnosis, God, I praise you. Not for the diagnosis, but I praise you for who you are. God, I'm in this circumstance. God, I'm just lifting that circumstance to you. I'm just praising you, God. Not for the circumstance. The circumstance is real, hurtful, painful. Yes, it's there. Don't ignore it. But God, I praise you because you are rich in mercy. And you know what? I know what the outcome is going to be. You're going to win. You know the beginning and the end. And how else do we let it impact us? Don't let the circumstance frame God. There's too many people, when you have a circumstance hit, what the enemy is doing, he's taking that circumstance and he's defining God for you. He's framing God by what's going on in your life. God is not framed by our circumstances. You need to get your eyes up on the grace of God again. Understand that he has your best in mind and understand that he is with you. Understand that he loves you. He's not going to abandon you. He is never going to forsake you. Yes, the circumstance is real. But my God is way bigger than the circumstance. And you praise him. And it happened in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. What are they doing? They're preaching the word of God. A lady that's demon-possessed is constantly kind of coming at him, and they drive this demon out. The owner of that lady is very upset because now he's just lost an income. He pulls him into court. They get sentenced. They get put in a dungeon, placed in shackles in the heart of a nasty, nasty place. Their circumstance is pretty bleak. Doesn't look like there's much hope. If I was in that circumstance, I would probably be tempted to go, oh, poor me. I was doing good for you, God, but this is what's going on. I just love this incredible story because what happens is these guys begin to pray. And you know what begins to happen after they pray? They begin to worship. They begin to worship. I don't know what they're worshiping. I don't know what they're singing, what songs they're singing. It could have been a hymn. It could have been one of the Psalms. And I kind of pictured maybe that they were singing the Psalm. And it tells us in Acts chapter 16 that it's about midnight and they began to sing. And maybe they were singing out of Psalm 62 where it says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." Maybe they're singing that and they're praising that at the top of their lungs. And you know what happens? The earth begins to shake. But before the earth begins to shake, it tells us that there's prisoners listening. They're hearing the echo of heaven. A lot of us are not witnesses in this world because our echo is silenced by a circumstance. And we're letting the circumstance define how big our God is. God is not defined by a circumstance. These guys, they begin to worship, and the whole prison is like, whoa. The earth begins to quake. The shackles all of a sudden fall off all the prisoners. And this jailer is terrified. You know what happens to him? Because of their praise, because of the echo coming out of them, he comes to Christ. His whole family come to Christ. See the echo of heaven radiating, changing and transforming lives. What's the echo that's coming out of you? Is it just a little, kind of like the gospel? Is it like the gospel, but I got a lot of things to do? Or is it, I love the gospel. Praise be to God, the Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He poured out heaven. He poured out something that was precious to Him, His Son. His blood was poured out to save me. And man, I am going to go, woohoo! I am going to be so excited. I'm going to be an echo. I'm going to be a living sacrifice so people can see the marvelous, wonderful light of God through us. See, that's a living sacrifice. How are you living? Has grace impacted you? See, I really believe that sacrifice is a key that will open up a door to get into a deeper relationship with God and be able to reflect that echo even louder. So let's become living sacrifices with offerings that are pleasing to our Father. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before You. And God, we would ask that our lives truly would reflect this incredible, incredible grace that was poured down from heaven. God, we would ask that You just ignite our hearts on fire for You. Help us to be real and genuine, not fake. Help us not to have religion. Help us to have worship of a resurrected Savior flowing through our veins. And God, may we just praise Your name for who You are, for what You have done. We praise You that You have fallen into our lives and You have bent from heaven to touch us. In Jesus' name.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.